Session number 220861, Reel 3.
Colonel Shakespeare, Reel 3. You were saying you couldn't see anything from Michele because...
Michele, I can't remember, no. I don't think... But must have been able to look across and see the monastery, the whole of the hill, and then Monte Carlo, which towered up over on the right. But as I say, we didn't move by day. We went in by night, and to Cairo village, which is north of the barracks area, and settled in under Monte Castellani.
How did you arrange that night march? Because it must have been rather difficult to keep
I
contact.
Think we touch. Must have had guides from somebody. Yeah. Must have been.
What was the route forward like?
Well, it was on a track, yeah, across the Rapido, and on a track, and there we were. And I don't think we were shelled particularly. Yeah. probably the odd shell round about. Of course, the shells were going out on the mountainside because the Yanks were still there, you see. Yeah. And as I say, we got to Cairo, and early in the morning there was a hell of a shindy going on at the top, and A and B companies stood too and went up, and it was the German attack on the residue of 3-4 or 3-6 Texas division, and the Yanks saw them off, but our two companies were ready just in case they came. And then we eventually took over from them, and they moved out.
So did you do a relief in place then? For the You did a relief in place for the Texas division?
Yes. Yeah. We took over from them, and then very soon after that, we moved up towards the monastery. Yeah. And I can't remember who took over from us. There must have been somebody.
When you took over from the Texas division... What sort of condition were they in?
Oh, terrible. Foot rot, they couldn't, a lot of them couldn't walk, couldn't move at all. And their language is the first time I'd ever heard some of the American expressions, I must say. They were new to me, anyway. No, they'd had a terrible time. But they gave as good as they got. In fact, I think there was a slight armistice so that the Germans could pick up theirs and the Americans pick up theirs. But no, they were in very, very poor condition.
What sort of positions had they been in on the mountain?
Little dugouts or sangers. I didn't go up to the top myself. As I say, being adjutant, we were trying to find out what the bloody hell we were going to do. Because this battle took place, and Brigade Headquarters was right with us, and they didn't know what they were going to do. The Royal Sussex had gone forward, and it was the 9th Gurkhas probably took over, that's right. And was it that day or the day after? We said, right, you're up. Next, up towards the Big Bow, which was where Brigade Headquarters was, ready for the attack on the monastery. So with the 12th, 13th, 15th was the bombing of, medium bombing, of the monastery, and the Royal Sussex at Snake's Head weren't even told until the bombers started dropping. We were down at the bottom then, and came up 15th, 16th night. We moved up. So we had one night before the next 17th, the CO gave his orders for the attack. So we had no real time for any reconnaissance. Quite honestly, it was a bugger's muddle from beginning to end.
Had you had forewarning of the bombing?
No. Well, that bombing, I mean, went on, but we were so far away that it didn't sort of concern us. And they didn't bomb us.
That's lucky.
Yeah.
What did you think about the bombing of the monastery at the time?
Nothing at all, quite honestly. There are no thoughts of, desecration or anything like that. I said if the Germans were there, well, they deserved all they got. And as when we moved up and were sort of going, you would see the odd Yank here and there, and then we started to pick them up. And then he said, no, leave them, because their own, they like to deal with their own dead. So we had to, and thank God, it was very cold, snowy, and there was no smell of dead bodies and things. There were plenty around, German, what have you, all over the place.
When you took over from the 36th Division, the Texas Division, did you occupy their positions, or did you make
Well,
your
I can't.
Own?
I really can't remember now, because I remember seeing them going, and yes. Obviously A and B companies were up on the top. But we must have moved out very soon. Somebody must have taken over from us. Who they were, I don't know. Because it was very soon after that the whole battalion moved up to the Big Bowl, and that's about a 2.5 hour walk anyway.
You were in the headquarters of the battalion. What did that consist of, battalion headquarters?
Battalion headquarters, CO, signals officer, adjutant, intelligence, and the odd clerk soldier, And that was about very much the signals.
Yes.
The control.
How many people altogether then would there be in the?
Only about half a dozen or so.
Half a dozen.
Yeah.
You mentioned the signals. What were you relying on mainly at the casino? Was it line or was it wireless transmission?
Radio, and then once you got to a certain position, then you lay line. Mm. But it was radio. 1822 set, was it? 22 was a Mulebeck 22 set. The companies had 18 sets, and the communications were never very good.
I was going to ask you if they were reliable and effective.
No. Very, very occasionally. It's always through when you didn't want them through, and when you did want it through, you wanted SOS, you couldn't get through. And very, very unreliable. Yes, we hunkered back near the RAP, actually, the 416th, Royal Sussex, the 416th in the line, and we were the reserve battalion on the 16th, 17th.
And you mentioned the brigade headquarters was near you when you were going
yes.
up.
Ah, that was at Cairo. They were in Cairo
yes.
for a bit, and they moved up to the Big Bowl. And
yes.
They had a bit of a hole. I think there was a slight dugout. Mm. Probably the Germans had built in the what they call the large bowl.
Yeah.
There were two old craters, one big one and one little one. Mm. And brigade headquarters were tucked in here, Monte Carlo there, so that the shots missed them and meant the other side.
They were in the dead ground.
Yeah. And the small bowl there, but ours at Kesselring's Castle later on, they could have fired straight in, but... Mm. They never did. It was quite close, but never quite in.
What was your battalion headquarters usually dug in or undercover, or did you camp out there?
Oh, no. We were in... before the attack, no, we were just on the ground, I think. I mean, you couldn't dig anything, you see, there. You couldn't dig a hole. The Germans had blown a couple of headquarters and things, but... we had no time for that sort of nonsense. There was a little RAP in an old house, I don't know, I remember. But the battalion was sort of lying around and put up a few stones, saggers as we call them. Mm. But you couldn't get a spade into the ground, not a hope.
How How did you go on for resupply once you got up in
the
area?
No, that was mules every night from San Michele. The mule trains had come, or not, as the case may be, and the Germans, of course, knew exactly the route, and they'd always be firing, and sometimes you got your rations, sometimes the mules just went out of the countryside. And it was all mules, a hell of a lot.
Who was actually handling the mules? Was it your own?
No, Cypriots, Italian, I think, right? Cypriots, Indian mules. Again, I couldn't remember the detail. I think there were some American muleteers. Cypriot is the...
Did you ever run short of ammunition while you were...
Yeah, well, Royal Sussex did. They were down to the last grenade. That was the trouble, you see. The grenades, if it didn't come up, you had it. We were all right. We didn't suffer from any shortage of rifle ammunition, machine gun ammunition. The MMGs, of course, were brigaded, and they were on Machine Gun Ridge, commanded, in fact, by one of our officers, after a bit came back in, well, after our casualties, took over company, D Company. No, we were all right.
You mentioned grenades. Were they particularly important in the... Were grenades particularly important in the fighting around Casino?
Oh yes, 36 grenades, very useful weapon in that sort of Humpty Dumpty country, yes, very useful.
What happened when you made the big attack on the monastery?
Well, I think I'll tell you this, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the 17th, CO's orders, in the big bow. And a shell came over and wounded one or two people. The orders were to go up from where we were, up Death Valley, round the start line, which hadn't been wrecked, had only been seen from Machine Gun Ridge, looking down like that, the monastery over there, by a company of commanders. I hadn't gone, or the CO, of course, had. And the attack was to be at 12:30, midnight, 12:30. And so we started up. The IO was laying tape. The tape ran out en route somewhere. Well, they had guides from the 416th Punjab, a Sikh. The first two companies, B and C companies, moved forward. 10 headquarters next, and then followed by A and D. As I got to the top of Death Valley and was starting to go down, all the Spandaus in the world were firing in our direction because they must have known it was happening. And their tracer going overhead. And a mortar bomb landed, oh, I don't know, 10 yards behind me. Knocked out signals officer, signalers, and the radio.
So you're out of contact.
The second time it had happened. It had happened at Akarit.
Yes.
And it happened here. So when we gathered up the thing and moved down, there was no communication with anyone. In fact, the only one we had was the gunner communication, which, thank God, hadn't been knocked out. And the battery commander was okay. We got down to the body. It was 4 o'clock. Instead of 12:30, it was 4:30. The CO blew a whistle and invent the attack. I think I told you the CEO was irascible, to say the least of it. He was bloody angry with the whole thing. And in went B Company and Charlie Company. And all hell was let loose. I was gathering people together back, and I walked up a track, and suddenly a sort of great hail of bullets across just missed me. And I said, that's a bloody fixed line. Went back, saw the CO. I said, don't go up that track. Next moment, he had stomach full of bullets, and we carted him back. And as I say, in half an hour, everything was over. We hadn't made a yard of ground. Or if we'd made a yard of ground, eventually pulled people back. And we'd lost, I think it was 130 or 40 people, casualties or wounded, what have you, not all killed. And, it was a non-starter.
What was the main cause of the casualties? Was it the fire from the German light machine guns?
Well, there were machine guns, tripwires, thorn bushes, interlaced with tripwires, mines, booby traps, you name the lot. And as they ploughed through this lot, everything was going off left, right, and centre. And it was absolute devastation. There was no way through. You see, they'd had everything nicely arranged, and we hadn't got a chance of doing a recce, other than 500 yards away, looking down, you couldn't see anything.
Could you see anything at all when you were moving through the night towards the objective?
What? Moving to the start line?
Yes.
Oh, no. I mean, it was all lit up with Spandau tracers and Berry lights and God knows what going on, but you couldn't really see much. You could just see to move along. You couldn't see mines or anything like that. The place was littered with mines, all sorts of mines, shoe mines, Hawkins mines, you name it. As I say, C Company, B Company, and the C Company commander was wounded. B Company chap was Don Rance Brown again. He was survived and took over command and said, right, we'll just hold the start line. Which we did. The Germans didn't sort of counterattack or anything. But we were literally 60 yards away from them, I suppose. And we called down fire to help. And of course, inevitably, the mediums coming down came a bit close. And
they dropped it short.
Well, see, theoretically, it should have been all right there, but they were a bit right. And I was talking to Donald and the battery commander, and suddenly Donald went boing like that, and the medium had gone off in the tree just up there, hit his tin hat and bowled him over, and the tin hat just had a dent in it. He was all right with a severe headache, and his orderly just literally a yard away to the right like that. And
well, he was killed, his orderly.
Well, we gave him, what do you call it?
Morphia.
Mm. Oh, it's terrible. But, things were, there was nothing one could do. He said, all right, poor chap. Mm. The doctor happened to be there, just round the corner, and gave him that. There was no chance of any. But there we are. I think there were 34 killed. We had 34 killed, and it was a disaster.
You mentioned the 5.5-inch, the medium guns. Did you have field guns in support as well?
Oh yes, 25-pounders. Yes, the battery.
How did they?
1A field regiment. They were marvellous, but they weren't in the upper register. The 25-pounder then was the ordinary 25-pounder, and they had to this is after our attack when we were holding the line later on, they had to register twice a day, morning and evening, because the crest clearance was so tricky. And of course for them you had landline, and the line parties were out once, twice, every night, because the Germans shelling all over, it's bound to cut through your lines, you see. I had a nice little episode of that, but that was later on.
What was the start line like when you could see it? You know, when
you couldn't see it. It was just a bit of a ridge. That's all.
Yeah.
The 416 Punjab were there, but we didn't have time to liaise with them. They could have told us quite a lot, but
you had no chance.
No, I mean, I don't think brigade commander knew from one moment to the next what the hell was going to happen. Orders came whistling down. The whole thing was that the bombers bombed, and there was no follow up on the ground, because they wanted to bomb in the morning, and we wanted to attack at night. The whole thing was mismanaged. There was no
a lack of coordination.
Clear, coordinated plan. It was. The whole thing, we didn't know anything. Anzio suddenly raised its head. Anzio's in trouble. You must do this. Bother Anzio. That was a mismanaged battle, too. Now, there we are.
Did you stay on the start line? Did you stay on the start line? You said
I was there, yes. Yes. I didn't go forward. Line. No, yeah. I mean, virtually on the start line.
But on the morning after the attack, you said that the CO had said the two IC said we'll hold the start.
Yeah,
line.
Well, that was where we were.
And you remained there.
Yeah, we remained there until the evening, and then we came back. The two IC then came forward and took over command, and we withdrew that night. And
the Germans didn't make any attempt to.
No, not then. No, okay. No.
What could you see looking forward from the start line when it was daylight?
Nothing.
You couldn't see
nothing at all. Just bushes and what have you. There's nothing much to see. I say bushes, not leafy bushes, just a mass of muck and what have you.
Scrub.
Scrub, very much so, yes. It was, I suppose you'd call it, blackthorn,
yes.
Hawthorn, blackthorn, that sort of scrub with trees which had been knocked down by shell fire, plus tripwires and booby traps, mines, and the Germans, of course, were dug in to their things, the machine gun posts. They were all right, Jack. Anything that moved.
What about the Punjab? Were they well dug in?
Punjabi? I don't know, but they were undercover, shall we say.
Yeah.
They certainly held a... They were there, and they said, the chap later on, when I went to take photographs, the company, I said, why didn't you come? We had no chance. He said, we knew A, B, C, and D, but no, we didn't know.
Did that ridge, the start line, did it offer you any protection? Did it offer
well,
you
it must have been a bit of protection, must have been. It was 0.445 was on the left, and it went slowly up to 593, so there must have been a bit of a reverse slope, it must have been. And when the chaps went over, of course, they were all knocked off. Because when I went back later on to take photographs, we were going down on a track to the start line, and I said single file to, we had, I don't know, half dozen or a dozen people. And my old orderly, who was a very odd sort of character anyway, he liked doing it, he was 5 yards to the right and blew himself up on a mine. And we had to go in and pull him out and look for a stretcher. Stretchers all over the place, but not a complete stretcher. We eventually got him away. He lost his leg, but no, the whole place was a death trap.
Did you have any sappers with you to provide support for clearing?
No. Not an oral test. No, it wasn't a mind clearing job. It was just to take photographs.
No, I'm thinking about during the attack itself.
Oh Lord, no.
Had you got pioneers in the battalion who were trained?
Yes, we got pioneer, but there was. Yes, there was an assault pioneer platoon. Must have been. I don't think it was a support company as such. But there were assault pioneers, but there again, they couldn't do anything at night just like that, out of the blue.
It's a painstaking occupation, clearing mines and
boot
tracks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a methodical sort of business, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Not under fire. Mm. No, there was no time. As I say, the thing was so concertinaed. I think, when we were in Cairo, I think there were 7 different plans made.
Yes.
And I was the adjutant, and they came, we're doing it. I mean, it really was a ghastly shambles.
What happened when you got back from that attack?
Well, we went back to where we had started from.
To Village of Cairo?
No, Death Valley. Mm. No, we moved back and took over Kesselring's castle, which was a dugout at the top of Death Valley.
Yes.
The thing was here, and we went past it and then down. And we sat in there until the first night. It was a German SOS DF task. Smack on it. And I've never forgotten that we were sort of evening. Hate was about to start, or hadn't quite started, and suddenly all around us, really. And everyone lying down to get into the dugout, somebody fell down, someone on top of him, so you could...
People stacked up.
I just lay down on the track, and I felt just like a schoolboy waiting to be smacked. And I'd had plenty of experience. And we lost again the signals. Another went straight in the slip trench. That was a brigade, the rear link signaller. It was two sets gone in 2 or 3 nights.
Must have been rather difficult to replace those.
Well, yes, it took time. Mm. Yeah, but we weren't so very far away that time, and then we were just holding the line, and we had one company forward, if not two, headquarters here and a company back. I think by that time we were reduced to about 3 companies only.
Had you had to amalgamate companies?
Well, yes. I mean, so, you see, B and C were reduced to 1 platoon each.
Yes.
So I can't remember. I could look at the war diary which I wrote. It's in the Gurkha Museum. I could find out whether, you know, the forward companies were C and B amalgamated, or whether a D company is there or A company. I can't remember now. But
were you able to? I mean, did you write the war diary up every day?
Yes.
Things happen?
Yes. Yes, I managed when I could. I say when I could. Yes, because when we came back, I don't think we did go to Kesselring's Castle to start with. We went back down to the big bowl. Because I remember sitting on the slide in the thing, writing the war diary, bloody east wind blowing, and then we moved up again to Kesselring's Castle and a Snake's Head. We had two kind of, the Royal Sussex were up near 593, and
you were on the Snake's
we
Head
were just
the same
at
time.
The back mm. Snake's Head, yeah, mm. with C Company.
Were the Germans actively contesting your positions on the line when you were?
Well,
on the
no, they were. Weren't. Except a bit later on, when we were in this at the head of Death Valley, we stood too because it was reputed the Germans were attacking.
Yes,
and that's when.